It's the Who's On First baseball show with the coach, Carl Demasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? It's the Who's On First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl Demasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And remember, it's presented by Coach's Corner. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Yeah, we had a little two-week hiatus with work and school opening up and things we had to do. But once again, we're back talking baseball. Baseball's been very, very good to me, and John Henderson is very, very good to us, and we got to appreciate it. Five shows on that Coach's Corner Sports Network. Of course, you got Rubbin' and Grubbin' on Wednesday nights, the NASCAR show on Facebook, Coach's Corner Facebook page. Then you got the Carl Demasi Sports Report Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Then we got, of course, they've only done one show, the 19th hole. Go to YouTube, check it out, the 19th hole with the Hurt Brothers. Unbelievable. Then we got two podcasts. Of course, there's the Hot Grid Podcast with Spencer Maddox and Travis Jordan, two young pups here in Savannah, Georgia, being pro-globe and talking a lot of sports and a lot of smack at that, too. And then, of course, yours truly, the coach and the baseball fanatic, doing the Who's On First Base baseball podcast. Well, it's been almost 2 weeks. Fanatic, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, Coach. Hey, just getting back to the swing of things. I know you're getting back to coaching and teaching the things you do the best, and I'm just glad we can talk some ball here, man. We still got some really good races coming up here in both leagues, and, man, we got a lot to talk about for 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's no time for anything in my life right now, but once again, we'll break it down into four innings. First inning, we'll go around the horn and talk about Major League Baseball races, wild cards, anything else we want to talk about. Then in inning number two, we focus on the home team, the Braves, not the Cubs or the Bears. We're focusing on the Braves, not even the Yankees, okay? And then in inning number three, let's talk a little bananas. They're still going strong. They're the CPL 2021 champions. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, so we got to talk about that. And then we'll wrap it up. I think this is the 16th. Trivia night between the coach and the fanatic.
16 this season.
I know. You're up 10, 4, and 2. No. You're up 9, 4, and 3. We have three ties. So I'm getting a little better at it. I'm not going to get shut out this year, which is good. And, you know, I'm not going to get no hitter. I already got a couple of hits. I got a couple of runs. Hey, I've already waved the W flag a couple of times, so I got to love it.
Go ahead, coach. Come on.
All right, let's start inning number one. Let's go around the horn. Hey, teams are holding pace, but there are a lot of races heating up. And, of course, the Braves. Who's in first place? The Braves.
Your Atlanta Braves are in first place. Big weekend series. They sweep Washington, and they've also benefited from the New York Mets taking a little bit of a slide right now. They finally get into first place, sitting with a record of 63-56, 8-2 in their last 10. They've won four in a row. Now, the Phillies are still keeping pace, 1.5 games back. The Mets are right now, they've won three games in their last 10. They're 3.5 out right now. The Braves are making a statement, and they're getting some pieces back. This is going to be a race till the end, but I didn't see the Mets cooling off a little bit. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about their pitching staff. I wasn't really wild about it, and they are banged up. But the Braves have found a way to get into first. A lot of power and really good solid pitching performances over the weekend, Coach.
We could just say the Braves are like the Titanic. They're sinking quick. Sorry, not the Braves. We can just say the Mets are like the Titanic. They're just sinking very quickly. I mean, I thought they would be in the race the whole year. But, you know, once again, their pitching staff has been decimated all year long. So
very much so.
They've been doing it. Luis Rojas is doing a great job putting the Band-Aids together. But sooner or later, you can't stop the bleeding. You can't stop the dam from, you know, exploding or breaking down. So he's tried, but, now the Phillies and the Braves are on top of the game. I mean, the Braves, I mean, they're smoking hot. And they're doing it without Acuña Mantada, Acuña.
Yeah, without the great power of Ronald Acuña Jr. And, I mean, you know, they're still finding ways to get it done. And we're going to cover all that in the next segment. They're getting power from all over the place. They're getting consistent pitching. They're still finding ways to close games. And that's been a source of contention all year is whether or not they really have a true blue closer, you know, and Will Smith is still going out there and finding ways to get it done. So we'll get into that a little bit later here, but the Braves hold serve, 1.5 game lead.
All right, let's go to the Central, near and dear to your heart, but the Brew Crew and the Red Stockings are you know, fighting it out, but Cincinnati's still 7.5 games out there, Kyle.
It's a fait complete. Now, the Reds have made a really surprised, almost valiant run to try to, you know, get somewhere near the top of the standings here. Played really good ball the last couple of weeks. Milwaukee right now, 72-47 right now. They're 7-3 out of their last 10. 7.5 game lead over those Red Stockings from Cincinnati you mentioned. Now, the Reds are still sniffing about for a shot at the wild card, and they're not making it easy on anybody, and they're basically paying teams the rest of the way that have really tried to sell up, of course, my beloved Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Cardinals are no threat. They're dealing with their own growing pains as well. It's a fait complete in the Central, I'm telling you right now.
All right, let's go out to the West Coast, or the left coast, as we call it. The Giants are still holding serve. They're hanging on. They're not like the Mets. The Dodgers are starting to improve, and now you get Tatis back for the Padres. They're still 11 games out. I don't know where this wild card is going to come from. We'll get to the wild card in a couple minutes, but you said that two wild cards are going to come from the West. I don't think it's going to happen.
I still think there's a very good chance it could happen. In fact, if the season were to close today, it would. But, hey, we still got about, you know, 50-odd games to play here. So you look at right now, the best record in all of the major leagues right now, 77-42 in the West right now. Now they have a four-game lead still over the Dodgers. Dodgers still playing some really good ball. 8-2 out of their last 10 for the Dodgers. 8-2 out of their last 10 for the Giants. Meanwhile, San Diego, you know, dealing with some injuries right now, kind of hit the skids a little bit right now, and they may be looking more towards a wild card position right now. I think the Giants and the Dodgers are going to fight this out. I mean, I want to see that. That's one of the best rivalries in all of baseball, and I think they're going to be duking it out the rest of the way. I really do. But hats off to the Giants for adding, and the Dodgers for doing the same. They're going to keep fighting it out all the way through.
And I just got to tell you, I don't care about the race. I just love those San Diego Padres Friar Brown uniforms. You got to love it. Throwback days, okay? All right, let's go into the American League West. We'll stay out west of the American League.
Yeah, West. Yeah.
Houston and Oakland are battling out. Seattle's hanging around.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you this right now. Houston has taken the lead in this past week, 70-48 right now. 2.5 game lead over the Oakland Athletics. Oakland is still making they're a strong ball club, still really making a, you know, good case for them going into the wild card or even winning that division right now. But it's really between them and it's between Houston and Oakland the rest of the way. I don't think anybody else is going to catch them. I mean, you have all the star power you want, you know, when it comes to, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. They are not going to catch Houston or Oakland. It's just not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Two best players in baseball we're not going to see in postseason. All right. Well, we go to the Central again. I mean, the White Sox are the only team in the Central, the American League Central, that are above 500. I know Detroit's got a little, electricity going on. A
little youth movement going on. But
And Cleveland's trying to find a new batch of players. Hey, and, but Chicago White Sox and the old guy, who I can't stand. I know you couldn't stand him either when he was with the Cardinals. But, you know,
it is
Tony La Russa's guy. Tony La Russa's got those kids playing, so you got to love what he's doing.
Yeah, they go out there and they make some big additions. They go out and get, you know, Craig Kimbrell to solidify an already unbelievable bullpen with the likes of,
But he's been struggling with the White Sox. He was lights out and with the Cubs. He goes to the White Sox. He goes to the south side of town. He's not doing anything.
Okay, well, also, you have the options. Liam Hendricks is still your closer. You still go out there and you get a high-leverage guy that can do it. And he hasn't had his struggles at all this year. It was going to come at some point, but you have the option. You can throw him in the eighth or the ninth. Tony's got options. The rich keep getting richer on the south side right now. And here we go. So we got to wrap this up real quick. Let's go to the east.
I mean, the Rays, or as I like to say, my Devil Rays, I mean, they're just hanging in there. I know Yankees are on a tear. They're starting to change things, and they had a lot of great trades before the deadline. Boston's holding on by the skin of their teeth. That seems like they might be looking like the Mets. They might be sinking quick, too. But you know what? It's going to be a dogfight. And the shame of it, I don't think there's going to – you think there'll be two wild cards coming out of this division? I don't think so.
I don't think there will be. I think in about 25 games you'll be able to tell. Right now that Tampa Bay holds serve 72-47, four games over Boston right now. Boston's still hanging tough. I still believe they're a playoff team. The Yankees are making it interesting, and a long shot is Toronto. But I really see the two teams coming out of the East. If, you know, we're going to have a division champion and a wild card, it's Tampa Bay and Boston. Sorry.
All right, well, I know we got Oakland, Boston, and the Yankees are the top three in the American League, and then you look over in the National League, the Dodgers and the Padres with Cincinnati sniffing it out, only a game and a half behind. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun race. There's several compelling races throughout the rest of the way to go. But, hey, we're in the dog days right now. When we get into September, we're really going to see where the men separate from the boys here and realize who is really going to win these divisions right now, Coach.
All right, and that's inning number one around the horn in Major League Baseball. We got some races going on. We got some teams that have a nice cushion lead with about 50 games left, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a lot of fun to watch, and a lot of teams that have really surprised us throughout the year. But the races, there's going to be a tough one in the East on both leagues. The Central, not so much. The West, still pretty compelling on both sides.
All right. Once again, you're listening to the Who's on First Base, I don't know, baseball podcast with the coach, Paul Demasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all presented by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. You got to love it. All right, inning number two. We got to focus on the home team. We got to focus on the Braves. And I'm telling you right now, when they got Duvall back from Miami, that was the best thing the Braves did. Everybody's loving them, but you know what? You also got Freddie Freeman getting hot. You got Dansby Swanson getting up. You got Ozzie Albies taking Acuna's spot.
Really?
And this guy, you know, you got Voit behind the plate that's doing a heck of a job. I mean, I can't say anything more about the Braves, but everybody loves a Duvall.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, and Freddie just said it. Everybody loves him. They love it. They just love. He's an infectious guy. He's been in Atlanta before. They love him. He's a great guy in the clubhouse. Veteran leadership. He's got 5 home runs already with the Braves since coming over in the trade at the deadline. He's got 27 overall. If you look at his overall numbers, he's a guy that, you know, yeah, okay, he's still going to strike out a lot. He is there for power. And he hit the concession stand the other day, dented the living heck out of it. But right now the Braves are 63-56, like we said, with that 1.5 game lead, and they've won 4 in a row. Power, good pitching. I mean, Tuki Toussaint looked good the other day. He's helping solidifying the backside of that rotation. That's had their questions. You start the year and you don't have Mike Soroka. You don't know where you're going to end up, and they've been basically running out whoever is going to be that fifth starter every day. And they're getting it all done with power. This is a fun team to watch. They're playing really good ball. They had a 3-game sweep over the weekend, and they're really taking it to the Marlins this week. This is a good chance. Hopefully, if Philly maybe, you know, has a couple of bad days, they can start to build a little bit of that cushion in the East.
And, you know, they get a good pitcher back last night.
I was about to say, actually, Tuki stays hot. Hyaskar Inoa, he's coming back up. He's actually starting now. Kyle Muller, who's given a handful of really good starts for the Braves, he's the odd man out, going down to Gwinnett. You know, the big man, big tall guy, he's going down. Get him back. And also Ian Anderson, you know, who pitched back on the 11th with Gwinnett, 3-3 in his rehab start. He's probably going to get one more. Would not just be surprised to see him by the end of the month either. So good news on the horizon to solidify, you know, guys like Charlie Morton and, you know, Max Fried. And, you know, Tuki, he's going to get starts down the stretch too.
And another guy you're not talking about is Austin Riley. Tell me he's not become one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball and one of the best hitters on a tear right now.
He's developing. He gives you power. You look at him right now, and I want to get to this list in a second here, but you mentioned it. That kid, he's got 25 bombs already, and he's giving you next-level defense right now. He's playing one of the toughest positions in baseball right now. He's really blossoming into the player that Atlanta want him to be. And, I mean, Snitker and the rest, you know, the coaching staff really believe in this kid. And he was thrust in a tough situation. Hey, this is yours. You're the best one we got here. I mean, and over the last year and a half, I mean, he's really had to go out and develop himself. It's bearing fruit.
Well, I tell you right now, the guy that's getting a lot of recognition, and I've read an article on it 2 days ago, but Dansby Swanson on Twitter is blowing it up.
Yeah. What a crazy last 10 days for Dans. I mean, Lieutenant Dans, he's got 24 bombs right now. He has stayed red hot. He absolutely destroyed the Nationals over the weekend.
And he owes Leckin now for the most home runs in the season, in the regular season for a shortstop. And I wouldn't doubt he hits 35 this year.
Really? Wow. Okay. He's certainly got the time to do it. And yeah, he's in that groove right now. He's just where he's seen it like a beach ball. I could see him getting over 30. 35, that'd be awesome. Now, you mentioned something. You want to talk about some home run numbers right now. The Braves are the only team in Major League Baseball with five guys, over 20. Freddie, 26. Austin Riley, as you mentioned, 25. Acuna, even before he got hurt, he had 24. And you look at Dansby, 24. Ozzie Albies has 22. And you're still looking at guys, you know, that you pick up like, you know, Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler that would still give you some power. They're sitting there in the teens. Now, if you take Adam Duvall, he's only got five with the Braves. He's still got 27. Power is in no shortage in Atlanta.
No, and it's fun to watch. And they're back in first place. And you could vouch for this. I'm not blowing my own bubble here. But I said to the baseball fans, the Braves baseball fans,
you did.
Give it time. This happens. I've noticed. I got to do my research. It's happened every year. They're a second-half ball club. They struggle. They get out of the gate slow. But come the second half, this team's a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, they're ready to rock and roll. And they've got, you know, a series against Miami, a team that's clearly sold off. You need to go ahead and try to take these games as you can here. Bottom line, keep everybody healthy. And, you know, you just need to make sure. And you also get Minter, the reliever, back. He came back. You know, so you get Josh Minter back. And you get a little bit more depth in that bullpen. That is still the main source of contention with me. You're going to get Ian Anderson back for the stretch. Just keep everybody healthy. Snitker, he knows how to make sure to navigate, you know, this lineup right now. You've got two good catching options, too. You got Travis d'Arnaud coming back. Stephen Vogt picking up. They made some low-risk moves. You know, good credit to Alex Anthopoulos for going out and just getting the pieces to tweak this. Yeah, you don't have your franchise this year, but this is a playoff baseball team. If they win this division, they are in. And if you can get a hot pitching staff going along with that power, who knows?
We got a minute left in this segment, but you just said it. The Mets, the Phillies, and the Braves, they got to win the division to get in because I don't see a wild card coming from them.
It's not. The wild card's out in the West. This is going to be a dogfight the rest of the way. Can the Mets, you know, can they stay, remain vertical for the rest of the year? Can they stay healthy? My goodness. Philadelphia's had a really solid, you know, last 10 days. The Braves have made the biggest strides. And, I mean, they've gone out and shown it. They've went out and made the additions. They're playing solid baseball, but ultimately they're getting the power right now. They need to take advantage of a little bit of a weak schedule over the 10 days if they really want to push this thing. But they need to win the division to get in. You said it. I believe it too.
All right, that's the end of it. That we're done with inning number two. Braves baseball focus. All right, we're off the warpath. Now we got to go a little to the local team.
Inning number three,
the Savannah Bananas. Coastal Plain League champion 2021. I was there for the championship game. It was a game three, win it take all. There was no doubt about it. 13-3, they came out. Oh. That's what hot. And the Morehead City Marlins, they're defending two-time champion. They couldn't match the Bananas that night, and it was just a great celebration. And instead of getting rings, they get WWE wrestling belts.
It was great. I got to watch all the bonus coverage. And, Coach, I went to two games last week, and I absolutely had a ball. I got to go, you know, for the third playoff game. And, of course, that was – they ended up, you know, winning late. You know, it was after midnight, but some people have to get up and go to work. And but I also got to go to game two of the CPL of the Pettit Cup championship. And it was great. Atmosphere was great. It was with some great people. Thanks again to my good friends, you know, at local FedEx store and Saturn Freight, Christian and Brooke Edie. Thanks for being great hosts. And just it was a packed house. I'm so glad you got to be there. Man, that was fun. And I love that footage. I watched the celebration all the way through. Everybody got the belts. That's such a cool thing. And I mean, you look at all the guys that are there. You got some guys that have already, you know, gotten a chance, you know, that have been drafted. And then you've got guys that are just kind of starting their journey with the Bananas. What a season. And what a great treat for the Savannah and the Lowcountry area.
And of course, now they make it on SportsCenter again with
with
a baseball play coming up to bat with his golf walk-up routine and his caddy choosing his weapon. Caddy.
I loved it. Okay. I'm sitting there Sunday, so it's on ESPN. It makes it onto the Cubs broadcast, and I hear the venerable voice of Pat Hughes, the Savannah Bananas. That's a great name for a ball club. You ever seen that before, Ronnie? No, I don't think I have. And he goes in there, nah, that won't work. Nah, that won't work. Yeah, give me that Louisville slugger. And, you know, he Happy Gilmore's a little bit, and then he's ready to go. Viral. That's what they do. It's fun. And the game that you're talking about right now, the regular CPL season is over. We are into the annual Breakfast Bowl against the Macon Bacon. It's making me hungry thinking about it. And this is a fun series they do every year. They do. It's a 9-game series split between Savannah and Macon. Really great. I had a lot of friends that have been able to go and, you know, catch the first game, which was in Savannah, a little bit of weather for the second one, but they should be back at it later this week.
And, you know, you didn't even get to the other one that hit national TV. Saturday night, Bill LaRoy is mic'd up in the Breakfast Bowl, and he predicts, okay, that he's going to roll it over. He's going to do a backhand on a second hop and throw it like Manny Machado across the first base and get the guy, and that's exactly what happened.
Boy, just worthy of Webster's. Billy, what a treat. That was hilarious. I just going back and watching all of this, and I mean, it's crazy that, you know, it took, you know, a college summer league team for a city that, you know, has had professional baseball for all these years. It's a college summer league team that has just brought out, you know, so much fun and joy. And you see that Savannah Bananas logo, you go wherever you go. I see when I go back home to Chicago. It's unbelievable. Now, well, Bill LaRoy, there's a guy I can't wait to see his next journey as he enters into professional baseball. But, hey, we got 6 more games here for the Breakfast Bowl. It's going to be a ball. But, man, I am so proud of this team. And the Breakfast Bowl team, it features many of the players that helped win that CPL title, the second one in Savannah Bananas history.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to love it. You know, it's not over yet. And I think baseball, like you said, 6 games. The Breakfast Bowl is over. Then October 2nd, I think they're going to have a beer fest at Grayson Stadium. I know you'll probably be there.
There's a good chance. I live basically right down the street, and you mentioned two of my favorite things, cold beverages and baseball.
So we'll see what happens with that. But just a great season from the Savannah Bananas. You know, they. Oh, before we go, we got about 2 minutes left here, and then we'll go to our trivia segment. We'll go to inning number 4. But, Kyle, here's the situation. We watched the other night in your neck of the woods in Iowa, the Field of Dreams game.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Everybody loved it, but still, it was a Major League Baseball game. Yes, the players coming in, and you know, Kevin Costner doing his thing, but it was regular baseball again. Yes, there were a lot of dingers in the cornfields, but you didn't get that little extra added entertainment that you get in a Bananas game. And until Major League Baseball does something about it, Major League Baseball is going to have a tough time keeping people in those seats. Maybe we need to go to 7-inning games. So your starter will go 6 innings and you only have to have a reliever for 1 inning. This Major League Baseball has got to be something that's got to do something to spice this up. And as Jesse Cole and Jared Orton, Emily Cole, the crew, the bunch at Grayson Stadium said, they have to make it fun for the fans.
They really do. They need to find ways to engage. I don't see changing, you know, just the basic elemental rules of Major League Baseball. Otherwise, I think the whole system will break down. But I am with you 100%. What the whole banana bunch, the Coles, everybody, Jared Orton, they've got the right idea. And I mean, this is sports marketing at its finest. Now, I will say the Field of Dreams game was a lot of fun, too. That's really the first good feather in the cap for Rob Manfred since he has been the commissioner. I'll leave it at that. And I hope they do it next year. And I know they will.
I know you'll be excited because next year it's going to be the Cubbies against the Red Stockings.
Yes, it'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully we will find players that aren't in the cornfield to actually play for this team. We'll leave it at that, Coach. Good stuff.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. All right, and we're going into inning number four. It's baseball trivia time. It's the coach against the Fanatic. The Fanatic was 17-0 coming into this season, and I finally beat him. It's 9 for the Fanatic, 4 for the coach, 3 ties, and we're going to go at it right now. How do we work this? We play 2 innings, 2 trivia questions each. If there's a tie, we go to a third. So let's start it off. You fire away at me first, buddy.
Okay. Now, this is going back into World Series history. Who has the most home runs and RBIs? Home runs and RBIs, World Series history.
Yogi Berra.
Good guess. Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle.
Okay.
All right. Well, you're going back into way back time. I'm going to stay really current and see if you can come up with an answer for this. Joey Votto becomes the second player to notch his 2,000 hit, his 300th home run, his 1,000 RBI in the same season. Who was the first Major League Baseball player to do that?
300. Okay. So, I know it's 300 homers, 2,000 hits, and 1,000 RBIs. First player to do that.
It's RBI, not RBIs.
RBI. Pardon me. I have a lisp. Good day to you, sir.
Okay.
RBI. And you said keeping it fairly recent. So, of course, it's a very recent player. So I'm going to have to reach back a little bit. Lou Gehrig.
Ah, you went too far back.
Oh!
Billy Williams in 1971. Oh, I said I was going to keep it fairly current. And who did Billy Williams play for in 1971?
My beloved Chicago Cubs.
Duh-duh. I gave you a Cub player, and you didn't get it. Yes, I'll take the W flag right now.
You will. We'll see. Now, finally. Right,
so that's the end of the first inning. No run scored for either of us. Let's go to the top of the second.
All right. Boy, that really got me. So, okay, that is frustrating. But moving on. Name the only 4-time manager in Major League history.
All right.
4-time manager of the year. Maybe I could do the whole question. Manager. That could help.
That could help. Go ahead.
Name the only 4-time manager of the year, Major League manager of the year.
4 times.
Yeah, 4 times. Think about it.
How long has the award been in existence? That's my question.
I think the Sporting News started. Actually, it's by the writers. On the last 70 years.
Last 70 years. So we're going back to 1950.
You think I'm really going to help you? I'm already mad about the Billy Williams thing.
Well, during the 50s, Casey Stengel won a bunch of World Series. When he got to the Mets, he was a bum.
No, he was just old.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think recently. I'm going to go with Casey Stengel. I can't come up with anybody else.
The man that you talked about a little bit earlier, Tony La Russa.
Oh. We're going to know that. Round. You see, but when you don't care or you don't enjoy a person like that, I mean, I just thought he's always been full of himself. I should have realized that.
All right. We're going to the bonus round. What you got for me? Somebody's going to win this thing.
This is all based on another current baseball happening, nostalgia, okay? Diamondbacks lefty Tyler Gilbert became the 4th pitcher to us a no-hitter in his first career start.
Oh.
Who was the last one to do it?
Oh, my gosh. I just saw this stat. I got nothing. I can't. I see it. It's blurred. I was sitting at a Mexican restaurant. It came on ESPN. Can't remember what it was.
That's why I had to write it down. Bobo Holloman in 1953 for the St. Louis
Browns.
Yep.
All right. I know that name. All right. So finally,
let's go.
You know, you're probably going to win this. Who's the first player to possess the moniker Hammer and Hank?
The first Hammer and Hank. It's got to be the only Hammer and Hank. Hank Aaron. Hank Greenberg.
It looks like a tie to me, Coach.
You still got to go.
All right. Well, you didn't get that. So, okay. I always screw that up. So, all right, what you got for me?
I know I'm digging this deep, but, you know, with going back to the Field of Dreams now, okay, the other night, what happened? Who won the game?
The Southside team from Chicago.
And a walk-off home run, right?
Correct.
Who was the first White Sox player to hit a walk-off home run against the Yankees before that happened?
Oh, man, you got to go back a long time for that one. Joseph Jefferson Jackson.
Did you just pull that out of your rear end?
No.
You knew that.
I did know that. And I know his full name. He was born in 1887. Joseph.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. 10th inning on July 20th, 1919. You really are. I'm still getting a W. I don't care. I'm not giving you the W. So, but anyway, yes, you're the winner. That's the answer. Shoeless Joe
That's
Jackson.
Say, that is what it will say in the box score. I am taking this W. My team has lost 12 in a row. I need a little happiness in my life.
Well, you just did. Well, you got Angela. You better keep that one.
Yeah, she's the best. And she's upstairs with my puppy dog. So, we better get on to making some dinner here. But hey, Coach, this is a fun one. And
we're not done yet, buddy. We got to thank our sponsor. Hey, you know what? I know you're having a lot of fun, and we can't go away without thanking our sponsor there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not. We've got some great bands coming up here. Coach's Corner, lead it off.
You mean, remember, it's food, fun since
1991.
And now it's all sports, all music out in the Soundgarden. It starts Thursday night with the open mic night with Tommy Holland. I'm telling you right now, you want to see a lot of local people come up there and play some good tunes, get the crowd going. You got to go there on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Up. Friday night, you got to give me a little history about this. The Bitter Roots are coming in at 7 o'clock. You know something about the Bitter Roots?
Well, I heard about them a little bit, kind of a bluesy band. So, very much influenced, a little bit of Melissa Etheridge influence. So, kind of a bluesy, laid back sound, talented band from what I've heard. And they're talked about on, 95.5 all the time. They'll be out there Friday night. Go check them out.
And then Saturday night, for all us old guys like me, it's the first annual Summer Shag Show with the fabulous Equinox Orchestra. You got to go out there and do some shag, buddy, with Angela.
Oh, yeah. You got to do the old Charleston shag. That is a very low country thing to do. Go out there, have some good food, have some cocktails, get your dance on. I don't dance, but somebody else can go do it.
All right. Well, get the dancing shoes on. Let's do something there. Okay, buddy. Well, the Who's On First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Kyle Lawson, the baseball fanatic. He pulls another trivia win out of his behind, and we'll give him to him. But once again, that's why he's the baseball fanatic. That's the way to end the show. Remember, whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, hit it at the park. Until the coach and the baseball fanatic see you or talk to you next week, always make it the best week ever. God bless. Be safe. Get vaccinated. We got to control this crazy virus. I don't want to be stuck in the house again. Neither does the baseball fanatic here. He wants to take a stroll downtown. So let's just do it.
Stay healthy. Wear a mask. Get a shot. Do what you got to do. Have a great week.
We're out of here.
Take care.